In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Be seated, please. Many of you are familiar with the works of C.S. Lewis. He was the most accomplished apologist for the Christian faith in the 20th century. And he wrote very many books, and I'm sure many of you have read them, but if you haven't, I highly recommend them. He wrote an account of his journey from atheism to faith in Christ, and he called the book Surprised by Joy. And it's a very moving account of his conversion experience. That element of surprise runs through all our lessons today. Imagine poor little Gideon, surprised when God chose him to drive out the foreign invaders from the land. Or St. Paul surprised in his conversion and call to be an apostle on the road to Damascus. He who had persecuted the church of God. Or Peter's surprise at the results of Jesus' advice to let his net down just one more time. He wasn't very optimistic, was he? And this is one of the most poignant verses for me in the New Testament. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Now, this seems to be a curious text with which to begin what is supposed to be the telling of good news. We recognize that it's coming from the story of the miraculous catch of the fishes. From our Sunday school days, maybe we remember this story is one of the ones that touched us. Jesus comes down to the lake. The crowd is eager to hear him. They press upon him. Jesus sees the two boats at the edge of the lake. And since the fishermen have left them and are washing their nets, he sits down in one of them and talks to the crowd. The preaching ended. Jesus turns to the owner of the boat, Peter, and tells him to cast off from the land and let down the nets for a catch. And it's at this point we come to our text. Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And what happens? We know the story. The catch is so great that the nets start to break. Another boat has to be called over to help, but Peter is overwhelmed with more than just the fish. He falls at Jesus' knees and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And when he and his partners, James and John, had brought their boats to land, St. Luke tells us, they left everything and followed him. So we see this to be a vivid and dramatic story of how Jesus came to have his first followers. And what about Peter? Or to put it another way, what about us? The testimony of the good news we call gospel tells us that Christ came to seek and to save. But more than that, it tells us he came to seek and save that which was lost. And it gives us some idea, for sometimes we don't really seem to know what being lost really is. Peter is like us. He'd just been fishing. This was his way of life, the only way he knew. He had done the best he could. Besides this, he was organized about things. There was a certain order to his way of life. The boats were carefully pulled up on the shore. The nets were being washed. He even stayed out all night at it. He had done the best he could and more. But he is like us. It had been a fruitless night of toil. He had done all he could with all he had and with all he knew, but it had been no use. All his efforts had produced nothing. And what is this fruitless night of toil for us? When all our best and most and more is not enough. Isn't that the root of it? Like Peter, it's the only way we know. By nature, it's the only way we know. My sufficiency is of me and what I have accomplished and what I can do and how well I can do it. And how much I can get and have and spend. And it doesn't stop there. It must assert me above others. How much better, how much more, how greater, how more loving, even how more Christian me than thee. So this is the natural way of life. And it's a sad fact that we try to operate this way because life is a gift. And whatever good comes to us or from us is also a gift, a surprising gift from God, who is both the giver and the gift. So Peter is like us. And the only way he found out that life is a gift and that there is another way was by his encounter with Christ. And he was so moved by that amazing grace that poured out from him that he fell on his knees and worshiped him as the Son of God. And this is the only way we can really find out what it's all about, is as we encounter our Lord and as we come to love him. But before we can love him, we have to know him. And before we can know him, we have to spend time with him, in prayer, in worship, in study, and in service. So this is an account of spiritual growth, moving from where we are to where he is, to that better way. And it's the only way we will ever really find out the secret to the meaning of life. So as we encounter him, we talk to him, we share our failures with him, our successes, but we must be willing to do what St. Peter did, to let the net down again. And to shake up a bit of our natural way of doing things so that it may become his way. And to try when except by faith there is no hope. And finally to do what is probably the most difficult to know that life and all good things are His gift, not of us, but of Him. And knowing this, meeting Him, this is the only way we will be able to forsake those things which seem so often to ensnare and entice and to be the essence of who we think we are. Because who we think we are is rarely who we were created to be. That person, the one we are created to be, is the one who knows God and is known by Him. And the only one who can ever find fulfillment. For fulfillment does not come from things, but from the God who is Creator. And until we know this, life will always be able to hurt us. But Jesus has redeemed this way of life. We no longer have to live and partly live in the anguish of our fruitless toil. To all this, Jesus says, fear not. We can find out who we really are if we will let ourselves find and be found by Him. And once we do this, all else will be seen as a gift from Him. And when He says, come, we can leave everything and follow Him and His way. So Peter was changed through his encounter with the Lord. He was enabled to persevere by the grace of God, which is a gift, and to try again and again through his encounter with Christ. He was able to risk everything, just like Gideon and Paul. Paul, who did so much, so many works, so many churches, so many conversions, and yet he has been called the apostle of grace because he attributed everything he did to the grace of God, that energizing inner force within us that is a gift of God because of his encounter with the divine. And all of us, I pray, will have that encounter. And because of it, we will be changed. And we will become reflectors of the divine light in the darkness all around. And all because of the grace of God. So I hope that we can move from business as usual and be like Peter. He was only minding his own business and fishing when he encountered Christ, and he became not just a fisherman, but a fisher of men. And so his vocation was magnified and glorified because of the grace of God. That is the challenge to each of us, to live up to this high vocation which we have been given by result of our baptism and by the reception of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.